Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Brayden Gall here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tennessee travels to Missouri. 2-5 against Missouri since Missouri has entered the conference. Only one victory in Como, as they say, Columbia, Missouri. Josh Ward joining us here on the program, fresh off child number two. First of all, how's the family doing, Josh? Happy and healthy, I hope.
Yeah, thank you. Everybody's doing well. Max is the newcomer to the family.
Oh,
and,
Max.
Yeah, he likes to party between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. So those are peak hours.
Is Max short for something, or is it just Max?
Maximus?
Yeah, it is Max, but yeah, the nickname opportunities are endless.
Yes. Okay.
Maximus,
yes.
Max-a-lot. I mean, we just keep going. So very excited about that.
Just call him
the dad joke opportunity.
I like Sir Max-a-lot. I like that.
Yeah, with two kids, you are now full in dad joke mode. There's no question about that.
I got a few good ones for you.
Welcome to the club, Josh. Congratulations on you and the family, man. Who's going to start at quarterback for Tennessee? Who should start at quarterback for Tennessee?
Well, it looks like Jarrett Garantano is going to start, and I would say that he should. There is, of course, the question, wait, should he really? Because he's played really well off the bench, so keep him in that six-man role. We've kind of joked this week that maybe you still run Juwan Jennings on play number one and then send Jarrett into the game on play number two, and I really wouldn't be opposed to that. But I think it's been pretty clear since the start of October that overall – Jarrett Garantano has been Tennessee's best quarterback. That doesn't mean that Brian Maurer hasn't done some good things. I think in that Georgia game, very early in the Mississippi State game, he showed what he's able to do. Alabama as well. But mistakes have been there, and you know the numbers aren't close. It's a runaway in favor of Garantano. The first month of the season was a really big disappointment for Jarrett and for the team. But since then, he has played a lot better. That's part of the reason that Tennessee has played a lot better. And I think that also, Jarrett has regained the trust of his teammates, and that's a big part of it as well. And the coaches have more faith in him. So I think it'll be Jarrett. Now, if he struggles against Missouri, Jeremy Pruitt has shown that he will make a change. So we could see multiple quarterbacks, but it's going to be Jarrett's job to lose, I would say, this weekend and over the next couple of weeks.
So, Josh, with that, because you look at this team, and for the last three or four games, they played well. And they put themselves in a position to win possibly seven games, make it to a bowl game, win eight. And I think that would be, more than satisfactory for the Vol fans and alumni. But has there been anything that Jeremy Pruitt has done in this, you know, three, four game span that has caused this change for the Vols? Or has it just been, you know, he's been business as usual and the team just sort of picked up on what was going on?
Well, in the summer, Jeremy was talking about the connection he had been able to establish with the players, and he talked about not doing a good enough job with that in the first year. And I think when Jeremy Pruitt was talking about that, like at SEC Media Days, that was a big talking point. I don't think it had really happened yet. I think that maybe Tennessee was on the way to getting there. But in the first month, you know, there were some real concerns about players understanding, one, on the field, what's being asked of them by the coaches. And then from there, maybe leadership within the locker room as you're hearing talk of finger-pointing, especially after that Florida loss when that month had just been a disaster. But since then, I do think things have come together. The players continued to buy in. That's probably why the switch to Brian Maurer was good before that Georgia game. He had 2 weeks to get ready, and Jeremy Pruitt did send a message that, look, if things aren't working, I am going to change things up. And he did that at quarterback when in August, Jarrett Garantano was the only starter that – Pruitt would name. So he showed that he is willing to adjust for his players. But I don't know that was there in year one. And then I would also give a lot of credit to the veterans who stepped up on this team. Darryl Taylor called himself out after September and said, I have to play better. And he has. Juwan Jennings, Marquez Callaway, Daniel Batuli, they have all helped lead the way. And then again, Jarrett, who's a fourth-year junior, he's helped with that. So I think that Jeremy Pruitt did a better job of establishing or strengthening the connection with his players, which he struggled to do a year ago.
Josh Ward joining us here from WNML in Knoxville. And it's interesting, I think there's a lot less pressure on Tennessee in this game than I would have ever told you there was going to be at any point during the season. This game has changed so significantly as to how we view it. Now Missouri has scored one touchdown in 12 quarters. The Dewlander has scored 100 points on Tennessee the last 2 years, but I think the way Tennessee's defense, 8 shutout quarters out of the last 10, Missouri can't score, it feels like an opportunity here for Jeremy Pruitt's defense to actually impose some will here.
It really is. And with the struggles that Missouri has had, I think that over a 2-week span, don't you give Jeremy Pruitt the benefit of the doubt with the way that his defense has improved, that it should be prepared. The guys are fresher. You know, if they played this game a week ago, there's even greater concern about the health of a few players, and that's still worth monitoring with guys like Bryce Thompson at corner and Henry To'oTo'o at linebacker. But getting 2 weeks mentally, physically, I think that should help as well. The way that Missouri's offense has had issues, and for a number of reasons, the Kelly Bryant injury was a big part of it as well, but that's not all of it. It's, to me, kind of stunning. And you think about the Missouri game against Tennessee the last couple of seasons, Missouri has had the back-to-back 50-17 wins. So you're looking at 100 points in 2 games against Tennessee. This season, Missouri has 99 points scored. So they have not been able, over 10 games, to put up what they've done in the last 2 games against Tennessee. On the flip side, Missouri could say, hey, this is a team we've handled the last couple of years. We can get right here. I can't get away from the trend of what we've seen over the last 4 to 6 weeks, and that is Missouri really struggling and Tennessee really getting better and playing better up front on defense, and I think that's why Tennessee should feel really good going into the weekend.
Now, with all that was going on, prior to, the last couple of weeks with Garantano and, some question on whether, him being a disciplined player, meaning sticking to the script and things going wrong, and then the big debacle in Alabama, was there ever a worry that Garantano at the end of the year, because he still has a year left, and we just assumed that once Mar got in, he was going to be the guy they looked to next year. Was there any thought of Garantano possibly transferring at the end of the season?
Yeah, and I still think that's a question at the end of the year. What happens? I don't think anybody knows. And as the quarterback position has changed during the season, I think speculation moving forward of what will happen has been adjusted along the way. And when Brian Maurer took over, and he did play well at times, as I was mentioning, I think most people said, okay, it's Brian Maurer moving forward, and then it's him versus Harrison Bailey next season, the talented quarterback who's committed. But since he's dealt with the injuries and Jarrett has come back in and played well, I talk about coaches, players believing in him again. Jarrett really loves Tennessee, and I don't think anybody wanted to see this happen, especially him and his family, who has really been connected to Tennessee. So I don't know exactly what happened moving forward. I wouldn't take anything off the table. Let's see how these next couple of games go as well. Let's see how the season closes out. But for Jarrett, I still think he has to look at it at the end of the season and say, okay, what is my opportunity? Am I the guy next year? Do I have to battle not only Brian Maurer but Harrison Bailey coming in? Am I going to experience next year what I have this season? If this year is going to be like next year from a competition standpoint, maybe he doesn't want to do that. But also, if he leaves, then he's guaranteeing himself 5 different offensive coordinators and 5 years in college. Is that something he wants to experience as well? So I think a lot of things are still on the table. But if Jarrett can finish out on a strong note and can help Tennessee win 2 more games against Missouri and Vanderbilt, then the possibility of him being here next year, which I would have kind of ruled out a month ago, I think is back on the table, and that's something to consider. And for Tennessee, what a story that would be, considering what we were talking about a month ago. And quick correction, Missouri's 99 points, that's an SEC play. I said all season, that's an SEC play. But the Kelly Bryant versus Jarrett Garantano matchup, that'll be something we might be talking about, because Kelly came in, and he was the guy that's supposed to kind of keep Missouri's offense going the way that it has, and it hasn't worked out that way. So he's trying to reestablish what he's doing. And then Jarrett has somewhat done that the last few weeks in a backup role. Now he's trying to do that again as a starter for Tennessee for the first time in more than a month.
Just give us a quick sense, Josh, as to how Knoxville would be if they finished off on a 6-game winning streak, 5-3 in the SEC. I know you can't erase what happened in weeks 1 and 2, but what would Knoxville be like if they finished the season at 7-5 with all those streaks and that record?
There is the, it counts what you've done most recently. And at the start of the season, the talk at the time, Tennessee's 0-2, Tennessee's 1-3, and 1-4, this season could be an all-time disaster. At the beginning of the year, if you hear 7-5 is the final record, I think most people say, okay, I'll take it. And then you move on, you hope to be much better the next year. But 7-5 probably feels different because of the early season struggles and because of the improvement. And, you know, Tennessee's kind of taken advantage of teams that have hit some rough spots. Mississippi State was not playing well when they came into Knoxville. South Carolina's had its issues. Missouri right now is struggling. But Tennessee's taken advantage of that. If Tennessee gets to 7-5, despite the losses at the beginning of the season, I think fans are even happier now than they would have been if you have your ups and downs all the way through. I think finishing on a really positive note would create even more optimism among the fan base of what Tennessee might be able to do in 2020. And then at that point, let's see what Tennessee's able to do next year.
Josh, always a pleasure, man. Congrats to you and the family, and we do appreciate it. Thanks a lot, bud.
Hey, you got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Absolutely. Josh Ward. I you know, we talk all the time, Derek, about in the NFL, it's not as important as to how you look each week. Uh-huh. I mean, we do analyze that a lot. But at the end of the year, it's your schedule, and everybody's schedule is about the same in the NFL, and you are what your record says you are. Same thing in the NHL. In most professional sports, you are what your record says you are. In college, it's very different. It's uh-huh. It's how did you get to that record? How did you look in the process, right? Even the committee looks at one team and says, oh, they've been playing close games. They're not as good as a team that's been dominant, right? The uh-huh. eye test matters. So I can tell you how you get to 7-5 matters, but I'm not sure anyone anticipated this path to 7-5. And so what does this path to 7-5, should they get there, what does that look like for Tennessee? We'll discuss the Missouri game as well when we return. Morning Drive.